Here's a question that the Lord gave to me to ask you. By the way, he asked me as well. No, you have no idea what this is. You haven't not a clue. Here's the question. Do you want to grow spiritually? That is the question that came to me yesterday. I was out praying. And you'd ask the question, now, why would the Lord ask that question of anybody? You know what I mean? Anywhere, anytime. Do you want to grow spiritually? Well, I'll answer that question in a minute, why I think he asked that question, right? But I want to ask you another question that is less confrontation. Is that all right? Okay? This has got to do with me now. Now, over here, what you have here in front of you is a what? A picture of a gym. Okay, now here's the question. Why do people go to the gym? People go to the gym very early in the morning, mid-morning, afternoon, late at evening. And so we would say, generally speaking, why people go to the gym? Would you agree with this? Listen to this. Exercise. Would you agree? People go to the gym for exercise. They also go to the gym for fitness. They want to get exercise, they want to get fit. They also want to go, maybe they want to lose a bit of weight, or they're losing weight and they want to do a bit of that. Or maybe it's simply muscle tone. They want to tone up the whole thing, look good as the years move on. Generally speaking, do you think now they're the reasons why they go to the gym? Would you agree? For the most part. No. Any other reasons why people would go to the gym? They're the obvious ones. Any other reasons? I'll give you one. Why do I go to the gym? I primarily go for the shower, the sauna, and the steam. I'm meant to be going for the exercise, for the fitness. The weighting is not a problem so far. Muscle tone could be, that could be worked on. So my wife asked me the question, apart from your tongue, did you exercise any other part of your body this morning at the gym? Can you see? I was going, intending to exercise a bit of fitness and thing and all of that. But the point I'm making is, the main purpose for going to the gym, I didn't actually get there a few times, you know. We got the shower, we got the sauna, the steam. Now I do a lot of chatting to people and, you know, I'd be giving bits and pieces of advice and all that. But the real purpose of going there is to get fit. Back to our question. Do you and I want to grow spiritually? You see, people go to churches and all kinds of fellowships for all kinds of reasons. Like me in the gym. It may not be for the main purpose at all. There may be another reason behind it. Nothing wrong with it, I'm just saying, but it may not be the main thing. So when the Lord is asking that question, do you and I want to grow spiritually? We really only have two answers. Either, yes, I do, or Jesus, no, I don't. No, only you can answer that question for yourself. I have enough trouble deciding for myself which way I'm going to go with it. We're worrying about where you're at the moment. Because Jesus will take a yes, but he will also take a no. And I'm thinking about this. Now, we've all probably done this, but thousands, you could say millions of people have gone into churches down through the years, in and out, week in, week out. And if you ask them, had they grown spiritually, the answer is no. So can you go through a whole amount of religious stuff year in, year out, and never grow? The answer is yes, you can. And God knows we have done it ourselves. You can come here and do it. But you can also go in many other places. Actually, with shorter meetings, if you want. Less painful. Actually, for many people, going to church and spiritual growth has nothing got to do with it. It's just clocking in. Does that make sense? No, I don't say that in any judgmental sense, but that's just the reality. And actually, in the Irish psychic, the idea of spiritual growth is nearly alien to us. Once kind of we show up and, you know, throw a few bob in the plate and hopefully it'll be a handy one, we get out of there, we're done and we're dusted. So, do you and I want to grow spiritually? If we say yes, well then, that's great. If you say no, then the rest of this thing is not for you. It really isn't, you know. You're welcome to listen, but it's not really for you. I have yet to decide myself which way I'm going to go with this, by the way. You know, I'm in that land of indecision yet, you know. That's what I am, because I can go either way. I can say to the Lord, I really don't want to grow any further spiritually. I am quite happy where I am. And he'll leave me there. He will. And I can say, actually, I do want to grow. And he'll kind of move me along. So are you with me? I think that's fair enough, isn't it? No, I hope no one's feeling under pressure. I'm just saying this is the offer, right? How this came about was, this was given to me by somebody on Facebook. No, I'm not on Facebook, but they showed it to me. And this really struck me. How do you please God? Actually, going to church is not the main way you please God, to be honest about it, right? Going to church is a good thing, but it's not the main way you please God. Actually, the way you please God is by exercising your faith. That's how you please God. And I have even a little verse law. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you want to make any attempt to please God, it's going to take faith. Does that make sense? That's the way to do it. No, it's not the only way, but it's the main way. And faith is trusting in God, taking him at his word. So if you want to grow spiritually, it's going to involve faith. For you and for me. So far, so good. Isn't that the truth? No, we have faith, but if we want to go to the next stage, whatever that looks like, it's going to take faith. And that's the only way it's going to go about. There we are. Gosh, that's writing. Yeah, it looked great on my wall, but anyway. And we'll see how we get on. All right. So, anyway, here's the thing that I found, and I'll read it out. It might be a bit blurred there. It says, and exercise your faith diligently. Would you have more faith? Do you find believing so pleasant that you would like to believe more? Then take heed that you are diligent in the use of every means of grace. Diligent in your private communion with God, diligent in your daily watchfulness over time, temper, and tongue, diligent in your private Bible reading, diligent in your own private prayers. It's in vain to expect spiritual prosperity when we are careless about these things. Let those who will call it over-precise and legal to be particular about them. I only reply that never has been an eminent saint who neglected them. J.C. Ryle, a saint of yesteryears. A word of prayer, and then I'll show you how this looks like. Lord, we do pray. Lord, this day, you have asked us the question, do we want to grow? All we can say, Lord, each person has to answer that for themselves. We know, Lord, you'll accept the yes, you'll accept the no. But Lord, we all know that it's an invitation to go further if we want to do. We thank you for the gift of free will, and this is ours to choose. Lord, let nobody feel pressure here. This is not a pressurized sermon. But it is an opportunity given to us if we want to grow further. Starting with myself and everybody else who can hear my voice. So we pray, Lord, and then what we will hear will help us to make that decision thoughtfully, and Lord, that we'll better act on it whichever way we go with it. And all of God's people said, Amen. All right. Exercising your faith. There we are. See the lads in the gym. Now remember, I went to the gym primarily for the sound of the steam, and so we've never got there, right? So if you're coming to church and you don't want to exercise your faith, well, you get a cup of tea and you get a few biscuits, but you won't get a whole pile more than that. Is that all right? You know, and you'll be welcome anyway, but that's all you're going to get. So here you are, exercise your faith. So how do we do that? This is a good question. How do we do that? So there you are. Look at that. You can see that there now. The first thing is, he asks us two questions. Would you have more faith? Or would you like to have more faith? Well, if you say yes, then we can move on. If you say no, well, then you have as much as you have. You won't lose it anyway, but you won't go any further either. So would you like to have more faith? Do you find believing so pleasant that you would like to believe more? That kind of, there's a hunger, there's a desire, there's something within you that says, I want more than what I just had. It's not a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? No, you have to, that's up to you. But if you say yes, then he says, then take heed that you are diligent in the uses and the use of every means of grace. All right? So then, in other words, God gives us a dig out, and there's certain things we can do that will help this process. That's all he's saying. Here are certain things. The first one then is diligent in your private communion with God. Now you're trying to figure out now how profound and what will I have to do this? Well, actually, I don't think this is as difficult as we make it out at all. Actually, I think the problem is we make it too hard. I genuinely think we do, right? And I think that's why lads come a cropper, to be perfectly honest with you. So, diligently in your private communion with God. Here it is. You can talk with God anywhere, anytime. Now, we grew up that you had to go to the church to talk to God. Now, I'm telling you today, you can talk to Him anywhere, anytime. Now, I talk to Jesus. Now, that sounds strange. Now, Lazarus, with white coats, could be arriving in tomorrow morning and say, your man has just said it. I talk to Jesus man to man. Because when he was on this earth, he was a man. He understood men. And I would tell him all the things that would concern me. Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? This is all my life stuff. I ask him, Lord, what do I need to do here? I need wisdom here, and I bring all the different things. So I talk to him the same way as I would talk to anybody else. So you can talk to God anywhere, anytime. Yes, there is reverence. You don't have to come in willy-nilly and just click your fingers. It doesn't go like that. But you can talk with God the same way as you talk to your friend or your mate. A lot of people never cultivate that. I had a conversation with Jesus this morning that if he gave me the numbers of the Euro Millions, the 168 million, I was telling him how I'd spend the first 5 million. I didn't have time to go any further than that. Now, that's not the kind of thing that people don't think about holy people, is it? You know, I have all kinds of improvements and all kinds of places to go. That's 5 million spent, you know. Somebody asked me, would I build a church? I said, absolutely not. I give the money to some fellow else and I'd retire and I'd just throw me a few bob. So I talk to God, man to man, or woman, you know what I'm saying? Anywhere, anytime. If there's going to be any friendship, it has to be normal and natural at some level. Does that make sense? No, that was never explained to us. It was explained that we were his child and we could go to him. But this is the way I have done it. I'm not saying it's the rightest way. Yes, you need to have reverence. You just can't come in. But you can talk to him anywhere, anytime. And you can talk to him the same way as if he was your friend and your mate. Now, that makes it an awful lot easier, doesn't it? An awful lot easier. So if we want to be diligent with our, thing with the Lord, I talk to him about music, I talk to him about gigs, all kinds of things. Things that are of interest to me, I talk to him. If he doesn't want to listen, he can walk away. I won't know anyway, but I still do the talk. So that's one of the ways. People never do that. Or they're afraid to do that. They're afraid he wouldn't be that interested. I find he's quite interested in it. Now, that's my personal opinion, and that's open to correction, right? But that's diligent in your private communion with God. The next one is diligent in your daily watchfulness over time, temper, and tongue. 3 T's. Now, everyone knows these things are very handy, right? Are you listening to this? First of all, 3 T's is time, right? Temper, and tongue. Now, this is where we kind of come a cropper. Does that make sense? This is where the thing can go pear-shaped. And often this is where growth gets stumped, right? So what do I mean, okay? Well, first of all, time. Watch your time. Why do I say that? Because everyone has 24 hours of the day, the same time that Jesus had on earth, the apostles had. We have the very same thing. But watch your time, because you know why? It's so easy to waste it. Time can go so quickly. So if you want to grow spiritually, you're going to have to keep an eye on your time. No, we're not going to watch your time. We have enough trouble watching our own, right? But you've got to keep an eye on your time. There's always the same amount of time for every Christian that has been born on this earth. We all have the same amount of time. So you've got to watch it. And every generation has to watch it up to a certain extent. So that's the first thing. Watch your time. Watch your temper. I'm not suggesting for the minute you have, but just in case, we know what it's like. Say, Jesus, let your spirit come upon me. And then some fella, you're in the car, you pull out in front of you, and everything is gone. Watch your temper. It's so easy, lose it. Isn't it? It's so easy, lose your temper. God doesn't like it when we do that. It does impact us spiritually to a certain extent. The spirit can easily move away from us and come back again. Watch your temper. You know, there's no need often to say, am I in such a rush I have to get that irate? Do I have to let that thing bother me so much? So watch your temper. And then the last one, as I see it anyway. Watch your tongue. It's so easy to let loose with it. Once the word is said, it can never be taken back. You can apologize. You can ask for forgiveness. But you can never take back your words. And even says, take those words back. You can't. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. He managed his time very well. But we have a trouble with getting irate. We're under pressure. We're inclined to let loose with our tongues, and we can say things that are not right, or that can even be slanderous, or that can be hurtful or hateful. That can hinder my growth. It can hinder it. No. Look, all that can be brought before the Lord and asked and things, but nevertheless, it's a good way to keep an eye on things. Does that make sense? Time, watch your temper, watch your tongue. And maybe you have no problem with those things. So God bless you. You're way ahead of us. All right, that's that one. Next one is diligent in your private reading. All right, now we could give you all kinds of things, right, for this. Lord have mercy. But this is the world we live in, right? So how do we do this? Well, this is the best way. You see, everything I'm telling you is I'm fitting God into your lifestyle. You see that? As opposed to fitting you into God's lifestyle. We're doing this the other way around. I am actually the lifestyle that we live. God is part of that because that's the life you have. You're not in heaven. So you can't be worshiping around the throne 24 hours a day with the elders. You just can't. You haven't got it. You've got to go live in this real world. So diligent in your private reading. What does that look like? Are you ready for this? Well, hang on. See, you can read almost anywhere. Your Bible now. You can read it on your phone, tablet, PC. You don't have to be lugging around, you know, half a ton King James with you. Anywhere, anytime. Bible Gateway, 60 versions of it. Sometimes when I'm waiting for somebody, if I'm meeting somebody, if I'm in the car park before I'm meeting somebody, I can just take a note and I can have a chapter read in 2 or 3 minutes. So, in many ways, the modern gadget can be a distraction and it can waste our time, but it can also aid us. No, you know, you may not be into technology, but many people are. So the phone, the tablet, the PC, you know, and there's loads and loads of Bible reading plans out there. Even just start with a chapter, it'd be enough. diligent use. If the thing is going in, it eventually will do something inside and come back off. Now, what I would love, if I was going to the gym, one of our instructors, her name is Kelly, she is a lovely girl. She's married a young lady with two young children. So I chat to her, you know. And she is super fit. Very fit. I see her there doing these big classes, you know, on bikes and all kinds of things. And sweating. The thing is just pounding along. What I would really like was if Kelly could go in and do that workout, and the benefits of that workout would be transferred to my body, right, while I'm inside the sauna. That's kind of the way I'd like it, right? It would be wonderful that way, but it can go that way. So, like, I can give you something in the morning, but you've got to put stuff in yourself if you want to do that, to grow. Does that make sense? Because whatever I put in for myself is only for myself, and whatever you put in, it'll be for yourself, and it's going to benefit you. So all I'm saying is, look, use the technology if you have it. Because it's very handy to do here and there. Especially meeting somebody or doing something. Very handy. Sometimes I can even put on the old audio there on the old phone in the car, you know. And I can listen to a chapter if I want. No, I don't make the best use of it. But at least it's there. Now, does that make sense? That fits into many people's lifestyles. It does, in fairness, without making a huge, big deal out of it. So that's the diligent use in the private reading. Next one then is, diligent in your own private prayer. Prayer is never easy. Let no one say, the only time people pray is in an emergency, for the most part. Or when they're under great pressure, or there's great anxiety, or there's an awful kind of yoke, then people will pray. But generally speaking, it's hard otherwise, unless you're kind of in inner prompting. So let me say again about prayer. The Irish psychic is you went to the church to say your prayers. Lord have mercy, that day has come and gone. I'm not knocking that person. That is not how people live anymore. So no, diligent in your own private prayer. So here we go. See, you can pray anywhere, anytime. But let me elaborate for you. You can pray in the shower. No. Some of you go to the shower fairly regularly. You could pray in there. I'm not saying you should, but I said you can. You can pray in the car. Well, don't pray with your eyes shut. I heard a story of that somebody doing it, but that's another story. You can pray in the gym. I've listened to great sermons in the gym. And then if you are super fit and you are super spiritual, you can do the next one. You can pray in the office. Or at your place of work. 30 seconds. Lord, I'll kill somebody if that's something that's started out here. You can also pray standing. You can pray sitting. You can pray kneeling. And if you're super fit, you can pray jogging. Anywhere, anytime. Now, that fits into our lifestyle, doesn't it? You can pray on the bus, on the loose. Anywhere. I'm not telling you how often you should do it. I'm just saying it can be done. Is that helpful? No. Look, I could give you all kind of elaborate types of things about spending time with God and grow. But I have discovered down through the years, this kind of thing actually has helped me the most. Because I have to live life. Now, in addition to that, two other things has really helped me. I have been doing praying and walking up and down sides of mountains 25 years ago before the rest of the World Cup started. I love doing it all up and out in Brayhead, you know, and I talk to the Lord. This is my communion with the Lord. Tell him all my things on the way out, and then remarkable as a messenger, keep my mouth shut all the way back in case he had anything to say. Other times I would just go and I pray for different people, and I'd pray one way and then I keep quite coming back. I found that really helped me, very easy to do, much handier to do it than sitting down. That's the way I work it. You know, I could have farmers with me, the man could be going collecting the cows, he could pray. He could be plowing the field, he could pray. Doesn't make any difference. Anywhere, anytime, doesn't even have to be long. But it just becomes part of the lifestyle. Does that make sense? It makes it easier for us. Roaring times. I know people out there will say, conventional wisdom is you have a certain amount of time to do it, and that's great, like the gym. If you can do that and you're disciplined, God bless you. But if you can't, here's another plan, which I think works quite well. Works quite well. Certainly will be an addition to the other stuff. All right, so that's the story there. Now, let those who will call it over-precise and legal to be particular about them. But I can only reply, there was never an eminent saint who neglected them. Let me wrap this up this way, and then I have two verses for you. If I go to the gym, I have to do the exercise. And if I'm going to benefit from it, it's I have to do it. Now, others can have a plan for me, they can have a program, we can have badges, but I have to do the exercise if it's going to benefit. It's the same with spiritual growth up to a point. Does that make sense? You can only go so far, you know, but it's then between you and the Lord how far you want to go with that. In the same way as my good self. In the exercise of faith, however far I want to go, and that's it. But I can't do it for you, and you cannot do it for me. Anyway, then this morning I was checking up growth in the Bible. Absolutely, no, there's not that many verses about growth, actually. But I found this one. Have you ever considered about growing in pleasing God? This is the verse about growth in pleasing and growth in knowledge. When everyone thinks about growth, they always think about knowledge. No, I'm not suggesting that you would want to be radical and decide that you're going to start pleasing God. But in case you do, right? This is the Apostle Paul. We'll see now anyway. He said, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Then he says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work, grown in the knowledge of God. I'm more suggesting maybe you might make a decision. Say, Lord, I want to grow in pleasing you. Because all growth is about growth in knowledge. And that's honest, an awful lot of knowledge becomes only knowledge and it never moves any further. No, knowledge is a good thing. I'm not knocking knowledge, but I'm just saying is, you know. How about saying, Lord, I want to please you? No, you're not going to get it right all the time, but at least you make a step of it. Does that make sense? That's one of the ways. Growth in pleasing, growth in knowledge. How about growth in faith and love? Maybe that's an area that's of interest to you. I want to grow in faith and I want to grow in love. Do I have another verse? Oh, hopefully I do. Otherwise, we're snookered altogether. I think I have. Here we have it. This is the Apostle Paul, Thessalonians. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. So, on one side, faith was grown. On the other side, that learned, and the outworking of that was their love for each other increased. Maybe that's an opportunity that the Lord is inviting you to, or possibly me. That's very practical, isn't it? I'm not saying you're not doing that, I'm just saying that's what the Apostle Paul was saying there. Grown spiritually. The question from the Lord is, do I want to grow spiritually this season? We have never been so blessed with all the resources that's available. Never so blessed. Loads and loads of resources. One more verse, and then this is Peter. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. I'll read it again. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Apparently, there's more to be had. Cry out for this nourishment. That's kind of his motivatius in our heart. There's more to be had if you want it. There's more to be had for me if I want it. No, I am not going to ask you which way you decide. That is entirely up to you. But what I am saying is, we have our bits and pieces here that we do Sunday morning. We have the bits and pieces that we do in the groups. And I'm going to, you know, we're doing the Gospel of John movie form. And I send you out the link, so in case you want to watch it. You know, it's the NIV text, but it's easier sometimes to watch something because you can see it and hear it. It kind of more goes in, especially for me. That's one of the things. But ultimately, you have to decide for yourself. The Christian church has and loads of people, and I could be one of them tomorrow morning, of where we stop growing. I don't mean in terms of numerically. We've stopped that a while, but anyway, I'm talking in terms of our own understanding. Some people say, like going to gym, I'll go this far and no further. It's not a guilt trip, but it is an offer that the Lord is saying. This day, do you want to grow spiritually? Do I want to please God? Do I want to grow in faith and in love? And do I want to go in the knowledge of this salvation that is yet for me to figure out or for me to understand in a deeper way? We will have a prayer, but it won't be a typical closing prayer. Is that all right? Because you're going to have to think about this. You're going to think about it. Because sometimes, like joining the gym, it's easy to join the gym, but it's very hard to go there. You know, people go 3 times and that's it. They're never again seen. So I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider it, as I prayerfully consider it myself. I haven't said yes to God in this yet. But, because if I say yes, he'll take me at my word. And things will happen a bit, you know. So, Lord, we do come before you. We thank you, Lord, that there is more to be received from you. We thank you for the gracious invitation, Lord, that you have extended to us this morning. Do we want to grow more spiritually? And I thank you, Lord, it includes us all. Myself includes us. And everyone who listens to this on the web. Lord, our prayer is, Lord, this is not a pressurized thing, but it is a good, strong invitation to those who want it. Lord, to those who say yes, may they increase in the knowledge of your salvation. May their faith grow, may their love for one another grow, and may they see, Lord, growth in their spiritual lives. May not cause them to puff up or pride, but Lord, may they see it. For those, Lord, who say no or who say not now, may they, Lord, and may I be among them, yes, ask the question, why is that? What is it that would make me want to say no? Lord, maybe it's fear. Maybe, Lord, it sounds too hard, too difficult. I don't want to go the effort. I won't be able to complete it. Lord, it could be any number of things. But Lord, whatever it is, may we get to the root cause of it ourselves. Lord, I pray, Lord, that for those who do take up the offer, Lord, that you will meet them and their faith will grow and it will make a difference to them and to others. And Lord, to the glory of God, we pray. Amen.